because we left near Christmas, so it's still school holidays. And I rang up and they wanted $110 a night unpowered. And we literally went 15 minutes north and completely free. And it was on a lake and the ocean. And it was amazing.
Welcome to the Family Travel Podcast by A Big Peachy Adventure, where we help families plan their adventures, whether it's for a week, indefinite, or anywhere in between. No matter what your budget, we bring you hints and tips from the experts, inspirational stories of families who are living their dreams, as well as must-see highlights from places that we and our guests visit.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Travel Podcast by A Big Peachy Adventure. You're joined by Michael and Natalie.
The perception is that it costs a lot of money to travel Australia. I guess if you're going away for your annual holiday and you're buying cocktails by the pool, staying in a resort, costs can be high. But what we've found is that when you are doing a lap of Australia, the costs are actually less than what they would be at home. Whenever you look at any of the Facebook groups, everyone is always asking, so what on average do you budget per week? And the answers vary. You get people who spend a lot more, and then you get people who manage to spend a lot less. We are in awe of anyone that can spend less, especially other families with children. But people do it. We were drawn to Bushnell on a Budget when they outlined all their costs for a week, and it came in at $500. We were astounded, and we wanted to know how exactly they got it at $500 a week.
In this interview, Chloe shares with us the main ways that they save money, how they go about finding the best free camps, and also the initial investments that are required to enable free camping, as well as being able to use all of their appliances like washing machines. She also talks about what their biggest outlay has been, as well as a breakdown of expenses. So if you're interested in bushing it on a budget, this is a great episode to listen to. Chloe, welcome to the Family Travel Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on. You and your family definitely caught our attention with your amazing travel stories and your amazing budgeting. Yeah, so we're excited to have you on to hear all your hints and tips about how you travel around Australia as a family of four, averaging around $500 a week.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess to start off with, though, Chloe, could you give us a little bit of a background about you travelling in the past and how you came to be doing this trip?
Yeah, so I came out to Australia as a backpacker in 2012. And the first trip I went on was from Adelaide to Alice Springs via Uluru. And Laurie was my tour guide. So we both kind of had the travelling thing in us anyway. So then since then, when I didn't have a visa to work here and stuff, I'd just jump on all the tours with him. So we all was living on the road anyway. And then when we found out we was pregnant with Ollie, that's when we stopped and stuff, but we always knew we would travel again sometime. And then when the kids came along, we didn't think that should stop us. So we just thought we'd do it while they're young. It's cheaper while they're young and I don't have to do the whole schooling thing.
Yeah. So how young are they?
So Lily is nearly 15 months and Ollie will be 3 at the end of August.
Ah, very young. Now's a good time to point out that we're doing this interview with a little 9-month-old baby on our lap. So I don't know if he'll pipe up. Let himself know on.
Hopefully my kids won't come and join in too.
And with the kids that young, how long have you been on the road for at the moment?
So pretty much 6 months to the day. And we left Adelaide 4th of January.
And then where have you got to now?
So we're in a little town called Commonweal now, which is in, well, it's pretty much on the border of Queensland and Northern Territory. So in the middle of the outback. But from there, we've literally stuck to the coast all the way up and then cut across within the last couple of weeks to get to Alice Springs.
Yeah, that's funny. When we were looking at your Facebook page before, we are just over the Queensland border and we left probably about 4 weeks after you, and it's taken us this long to get up to this point. I was like, oh my gosh, look how much more ground they've covered compared to us.
No, that's good though, because sometimes, like at first, because my mum was flying in to Sydney to visit, so the first couple of weeks we really did hightail it to Sydney, and there's so much good stuff to see. It would have been nice to hang around some places a lot longer, and we were doing a lot of one-nighters that made it hard as well. But no, I think now we're like into it. I think at first it was like, oh yes, we're traveling, let's get here, get there. But now it's definitely better to hang around places for a bit longer, and then you get to see more as well.
based on where you are now, and if anyone was going to Camo Wheel, is there any must-see there? Or what's the highlight of that place?
This is a hard one because it's a tiny, tiny little town. Like, there's not much here at all. But the campground we're at now, it's behind the post office pub, and that's only like $24 a night. And it's big, like, grassy sites and stuff like that. So that's good. But we are here just for the one night, literally passing through. Lorne Hill National Park, that was amazing. And that's not too far from here. So if you're in that area, definitely that was probably one of the highlights of the trip so far. So that was amazing.
You said that you're hightailing it to Alice Springs at the moment. What takes you back there? Is it an anniversary from when you guys hooked up, or is it something?
Oh, no, so we are going to work. So the time's finally come where we do have to stop and work for a bit. So we've got like connections in Alice because we both used to work there. So I can go back just to work in the pub for a bit. Some of Laurie's family live there, so they can help out with work and like with the kids and stuff like that. So it's just the easy option to go there, just so we've got a bit of backup as well.
All right, so you left Adelaide back in January and you are known as Bushing It on a Budget. Can you tell us a bit about where that name came from and how you're travelling?
So the whole name come originally from our setup. So we were going around looking at caravan showrooms and all that, and really, like, I would love a massive caravan with toilet and shower and stuff. But then we thought, we don't want to get out alone. We don't want this trip to put us in debt or anything like that. So we set up on the cheapest we can. And then we had more money for the trip, and it's not giving us any debt. Like, we're not losing anything by doing the trip. So we got our caravan for under 10 grand. And then our car is secondhand through a friend, and we got that for under 20 grand. So yeah, the whole setup cost less than what we were looking at vans for.
And what caravan are you traveling in?
So it's a 99 model Gazelle. It's only small. It's only 15 foot van, which with having the two little kids is fine because they're so little. We've got a double island bed and then a cot size mattress at each side. So they fit in there quite easily. But for bigger kids, it would be a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
It works well. And at first we thought it was tiny, but now, like, especially after we've just done the Cape in the rooftop tent, when we got back to the van, we were like, oh, it's so big.
Yeah, your perception definitely changed.
Big and comfy.
And I guess one thing is that, you know, you guys are known for pushing it on a budget with minimising expenses on a day-to-day basis, but also you don't have to spend a fortune on your setup either.
No, that's right. And to be honest, like, we think our setup is on the cheap. We've met people doing it in tents, like really low-cost camper trailers, and everyone is still having a good time no matter what they're travelling in. Like, you can have the biggest van or just be in a swag and people are still having a good time.
Yeah, that's right. It is easy to get caught up in the whole thing. Like, we were the same. We thought that you needed the biggest, newest van out there, and we didn't really consider until we started researching, like, the cheaper ways of doing things. And
yeah,
I know we're definitely doing it on way less than we thought we initially would have to outlay.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and you get so used to living on minimal, even going from the van to the rooftop, going up to the Cape, like, I thought, oh, we ain't got enough stuff. And then within a couple of days, you're used to it again. Whatever. If you just get what you can afford, I would say, and enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, then you can just stop and go home or set up home. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, you guys are quite well known for a blog post you did that pretty much went viral about how to travel Australia on $500 a week or less. Can you tell us a little bit about how you guys managed to do that?
So the main point is free camping. Like, a lot of our camping has been free camping. From Adelaide to Sydney, we didn't stay in one caravan. Oh, no, like in Melbourne, we stayed in a caravan park. But other than that, we free camped up to there. There's free camps everywhere and low cost. And sometimes they end up much better. Like, there's activities in the national parks to do and stuff like that. And if you've got a good solar setup, then you don't have to pay like $40 a night in a caravan park. You can do it quite easily.
And how do you go about finding the best free camps?
Wiki camps, like, that is all we've used so far. That's been like the Bible on the road. It's amazing.
I know that we definitely refer to Wiki camps. Well, I'm constantly on it, using all the filters and finding all the camps.
When we were travelling up, when we got to Naruma, because we left near Christmas, so it's still school holidays, and I rang up and they wanted $110 a night unpowered. And we literally went 15 minutes north, free camp called Brow Lake, and completely free. And it was on a lake and the ocean, and it was amazing. So if you just look, you can find something good.
And you said about your solar setup enables you to do that. Can you tell us a little bit about the what setup you have?
Okay, so Laurie probably would have been better at this, but we have 500 watt panels, a 1200 inverter, and 230 batteries, something like that. So yeah, we've never run out of power when we've needed, and we run the washing machine. We run pretty much everything, except the kettle and the aircon.
Did that come with the setup, with the initial $9,000 outlay for the caravan?
No, we did that on top of it. So the whole solar cost us about $2,000 more.
And that would have pretty much paid for itself within a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And we were just going to do it ourselves, but we got an electrician's help as well. So that included that cost.
Great.
So really, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. So with the average of $500 a week that you spend roughly, would you be able to give us a bit of a breakdown as to what your average cost would be for things such as accommodation versus food versus washing and stuff like that?
Okay, so food is definitely our biggest outlay. Yeah, food we spend probably $200 to $220 a week. Accommodation, really not that much at all, maybe $80 a week. And then, well, including in our budget as well, we also have the car insurance and the life insurance. So car insurance is $90 a month and life insurance is $25 every 2 weeks. So that takes a bit of a chunk out of there. But everything else, it's mainly just the food. If we decide we want to stop and eat out for lunch or stuff, that always like throws things off a little bit.
Mm.
But if we make sure we've planned meals and have like the kids' lunches ready in the car and stuff like that, that makes it like a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. We find the same. Like I try and make the kids' lunchbox every single day. And the day that I don't, you know, it's $40, $50 on lunch just from going out. Then you want to have a drink with it. And yeah, so I can totally relate. Have you found that your food expenses have gone up considerably since being up at the Cape?
Well, no, actually. It cost more when we was up there, but we didn't, because we took so much up there, we didn't need that much more. But when we went to the shop just for little things, like, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Weeper had a supermarket that was just like any other Woolies, but Bamaga at the top, that was really expensive. Tin of tuna was about $8.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. You mentioned about you've got the washing machine that you can run with the solar. So any laundromat expenses? I know the dollar coins seem to be the bane of the existence of every traveller. Do you find yourself having to use laundromats or caravan park washing machines or anything like that?
Well, when we started, we didn't have the washing machine and we spent, I think it was about $62 in the first month. Like, it was ridiculous. That's what made us buy the washing machine. And then since then, we've only done it when we got back from Fraser Island. Like, we had to do all the kids' car seats and the car seat covers. So that's the only other time we've used a laundromat since. Like, the washing machine has been amazing. It's only a little one. It's just an Aldi one.
Yeah.
If you just do a little load a day, then it's easy enough to keep on top of it.
Yeah, we can appreciate that. I know we're constantly drowning in laundry here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you go, like, 2 days of doing nothing, all of a sudden, like, you've got this massive pile that you can't get through. So, yeah, that's what we've learned. We've got to do a lot a day, especially with the kids. They just completely trash everything.
Yeah, and all it takes is a couple of bad nights with someone being sick or accidents and it's all throws everything out.
Yep. When all the bedding needs doing as well.
Yeah. And so when you visit places as well, like with children, do you go out and spend a lot of money on sightseeing, or do you do any tours or anything like that, or do you try and avoid those to keep the cost down?
So we don't do that many tours. Like, if we're somewhere and we really want to do something, then we'll do it like Whitehaven Beach and stuff like that we did. But with our kids being so young, the kids are always free anyway. So that's another plus of travelling with them when they are so little, that you don't have to pay for them in caravan parks or for the, any activities that we do. But most of the time, like, because with them being so young, you can't go to places like museums and stuff like that because they get bored too quick.
Yeah.
So we find like going for bushwalks and going to the beach and stuff so much easier. And obviously that's all free.
Yeah. And they love it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Give them a bit of sand and some trucks and they're happy.
And you mentioned with the your setup, which was where the name initially came from, because like us, you didn't go out and spend on a new V8 Land Cruiser and a big Silver Line or anything. Have you found that your vehicle maintenance expenses or caravan maintenance expenses have been higher?
No, we have. So we did a big service on the car before we left. And then Laurie's done a couple of oil changes and a coolant change. But we will get serviced when we get to Alice. But other than that, it's just been really minor things on the van, like which Laurie has been able to fix himself, just like screws and like a bit of the awning and stuff like that. But nothing major at all. It's not had to go into mechanics or anything like that. So that's been good. We've heard a lot of people say, like, as well, like the older vans seem to held up a lot better. Like, we've met a few people with new vans and they've had a few problems and stuff like that. So, no, I feel like we've been lucky. We've not had any major issues.
Knock on wood. I'm working.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll break down. And...
Yeah. Oh, I really hope.
So, by the sound of things, you know, when we're talking about your accommodation, you're not missing out from where you're staying. You're staying in some beautiful places. You're just going 15 minutes down the road and having to avoid paying for caravan park fees. Your meals, you're not missing out. You're just, you know, planning a little bit better than preparing. You bought smartly with the washing machine rather than going on a laundromat. By the sounds of things, you're keeping your expenses pretty minimal without really missing out on anything.
Yeah, that's true. And if there is somewhere we want to stay and it hasn't got a free camp, then we won't just avoid that place. We'll still go, like we say, in the odd caravan park and stuff. And as well, with the food, we eat exactly the same as at home, but it's not me going to the shop every day just to get little extras and stuff that we don't really need.
Yeah, so with the caravan parks, do you have any tips for people as to getting, I guess, cheaper rates?
So when you ring up, just ask. Because most of the time, if you just ring up and say, can I book in for a couple of nights, they won't tell you unless you've seen it online or something like that. And a lot of places have, like, stay free, pay to, and stuff like that on. So you definitely ask and they will tell you. Like, even at Airlie Beach, we stayed at the big Whitsunday resorts at the Big Four, and that was... pay 1 week, stay two, and that was amazing.
They had 2 weeks in Airlie Beach.
Yeah,
cost of 1 week. That's amazing.
Yeah, so that was really good. So yeah, and look online and look as and for days out and stuff. Look on Groupon. Like, we always find that handy because they like had Sea Life on there and our Fraser Island trip, because we didn't take the van over there and we wasn't all set up yet for everything that we needed extra for camping. We was only going for 2 days. We stayed in the resort there, and for the resort, the ferry over, including all of us in the car, breakfast every morning, late checkout and wine, it was like $300.
So that's pretty much the same as, well, probably very similar to what you're paying to go over and stay in the caravan park.
Yeah, exactly.
And with your expenses, you know, it sounds like you're pretty good at managing those. How do they compare to when you were at home?
So at home was way more. But again, at home, we had more to spend because Laurie was working full time. So it's so much cheaper for us living on the road.
And the work that you were doing before versus what you're doing on the road now, is it you're doing the same things but just in different locations, or are you doing, trying different types of work as well?
So when we get to Alice, this will be the first time we've worked since being on the road. Laurie does tour guiding, so he will probably do the same as that. And I haven't worked since I've had the kids, so I'll just be going to the pub for a bit, which is fine. So
in work or to have a beer?
Well, work and then have a beer, hopefully. Pretend I'm still working and get a night off from the kids.
Perfect. And I guess looking at the hints and tips, I mean, the stuff that you've talked about, how you're minimising your expenses is great. From your point of view, what has been a purchase you've made, say, for $20 or less that's brought you the most value, something you couldn't live without?
Oh, well, just coming off the Cape, that single gas cooker was amazing. Like, we don't need it in the van, but that cooked every single meal for us, and that's all we had. And that was, I reckon, $20.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Oh, that's good. And is there anything that you took with you that you wish you'd left behind?
Oh, so much. Like, we have way too many clothes. Like, the back of the car is just full. Yeah, so clothes, we've took too many. Toys, the kids really don't need that many toys at all. So we brought too many of them. And, yeah, probably should have left Laurie behind as well.
We can edit that out if you need
to. We won't. Right. And since you've been travelling, you guys have done a fair few Ks and seen a fair bit of Australia. What's your must-see camp spot or your favourite place of all time on this trip?
Oh, so I loved Lorne Hill that we've just visited. That national park was amazing. I loved Airlie Beach and visiting the Whitsundays. That was so good too. And camp spots. There was one just outside of Batemans Bay called North Head. And we spent about 4 or 5 nights there, and it basically had its own private beach. That was really good. And that was totally free there. So that was a wicked camp spot.
I have seen some of your photos on Facebook, and you've been to some amazing places, and it's mind-blowing that most of these places are either free or low-cost camping. Especially yes. to see photos of people like, or and we ourselves right now are jammed into a caravan park and paying $70 a night. It's
Yeah. And like I said, when we first left, because it was Christmas time, we did the Great Ocean Road, and we tried, because we didn't really know what we were doing then, we just tried getting in a caravan park, nowhere had anyone, and they were literally back to back, and then we found a free camp, and we were the only people there when we first turned up, and we just couldn't believe that we were right on the ocean road. Like, we could sit, look over the beach, and it was totally free, and everyone else was like crammed up the road in a caravan park.
It's unbelievable. I mean, one of my, actually my favourite spot in Australia has been Boat Harbour in Tasmania. And same thing, that was our first stop in Tasmania, and that was completely free. And I'm yet to come across a paid place that actually rivals that yet.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's two completely different ways of camping, being in the caravan park and free camping. Like, I love a caravan park now and again, like, it's just easy to set up, and because we haven't got the toilet and shower in the van, it just makes it easier than setting up our own toilet and shower outside. So that's nice some days when you've had a big day driving and you can't be bothered. But then the free camping, you get to some spots there you wouldn't even know really exist if you weren't going camping there.
Yeah. So that brings up a good point with your toilet and your shower. What do you travel with? Do you have a little portaloo and a pop-up shower?
So we've got a portaloo and we've got a gas hot water system. So if we really want to sell, if we're setting up for a few days free camping, then that goes up, because that's just like a hot water shower. And if it's only one night, then we use, like, do you know the pressure pumps that you put the weed sprayer in? One of them from Bunnings. I think it costs like $10. And for the, well, even for ourselves really, but mainly the kids, fill that with water, put a pan of hot water in, and then just spray them down. And that works amazing. That's all we used up at the Cape. It's just, it's really good.
That's a really good idea. As a mum of a little boy, I might use one just every day anyway.
And it's good, like, even if you go to the beach, just to rinse the kids' feet off before you get back in the car and stuff like that, or before they get in the van.
We've had a couple of times where we've free camped and there's been like quite thick foliage cover, so we've run out of solar panel and had to move on. Have you had that happen?
Oh, the only time we've had that has been at Agnes Waters, because we stayed there a week and it was a week of really overcast days. And we have got the generator though for backup, so we use that then. And that's really the only time we've needed the generator as well.
Okay.
Upset for, and then we took it up to the Cape, but that was just to keep the fridge going a couple of times.
Yeah.
And as well, because when we drive the car in between camps, that charges our batteries as well.
Yeah. Agnes Water is actually one of our next stops, so that's good to know. We'll try to
Workman's Beach Campground.
Okay.
That's Agnes Water is just at the top of the hill. That's about 100 meter walk down to the beach. The Ranger is so nice. It's got toilets and outdoor shower and stuff. That's really good campground. That was our longest stop other than Airlie Beach, because we just kept saying, oh, we'll stay another night.
And how long was that stop?
We stayed there a week.
Great.
Yeah. No, that was a really good spot.
Now, you mentioned Wikicamps being your go-to app for identifying where you're going to stay and finding the good free camps. Are there any other apps that you'd recommend that help you, you know, save or make your job easier out on the road?
So we have like a fuel manager app. So that tells us mainly when the next servo is, but also tells you the latest prices in them. So you can get the cheaper fuel. It tells you what brand of servo, what the current prices are. So that's always handy.
And what advice would you give to people who are thinking about travelling Australia, but they think that's going to cost them an arm and a leg to do it?
Really, it's not costing us any more than it was at home. I think you should just do it, because one day it could be too late. And if you hate it, like I said at the beginning, you can just stop and go home, or if you haven't got home to go to, then just set up a home. Stop in a caravan park until you get yourself back on your feet. So, yeah, just do it. Go for it.
That's very good advice. So it's been really awesome talking to you. We've definitely learned a lot as to how we can help keep our savings down, because we, as of the 1st of July, we're tracking all our spendings and seeing where our money is going out the window. So thank you for all that. So how can our listeners find out more about you?
So we've just got our Facebook page, which is Bushing It on a Budget. Yeah, look up there. We keep that updated pretty often, show all the awesome places we've been to, how to keep costs down, the caravan, all that's on there.
It's a great page. I definitely enjoy looking at it, and I'm sure others will too.
Thank you.
Well, Chloe, thank you very much for your time. We've loved chatting to you, and I'm sure we'll make a few changes about how we manage our expenses, even though for us it is still actually being cheaper than at home. I'm sure we can tidy up a few things ourselves.
Yeah, there's always ways you can cut back a little bit.
Thank you for listening to A Big Peachy Adventure, Families Travelling Full Time. What drives us is hearing of those we've inspired to simplify their life and take the first step towards their travelling goals. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your travelling buddies. Don't forget to click subscribe, and also please leave us a review. 5 stars hopefully, but if not, that's okay. Please leave a comment and let us know what we can do better. If you'd like to connect with us personally or have any questions, you can find us on Facebook at A Big Peachy Adventure. See you on the road and happy travels.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.